Evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to your latest version of the Jersnet Weekly Podcast, hosted by myself, Craig Gray. The independent Rangers podcast made for fans by fans, and all of our content is free as always. You can get us over at jersnet.co.uk, where you can get the forum, some articles, and over on Twitter as well at Jersnet Online. Please do like and subscribe if you are watching tonight. Just before I introduce my first guest, I would like to give a shout out to one of our sponsors, and that is Forest Precision Engineering. They're a subcontract Glasgow-based engineering company, and they've been a big commercial supporter of Rangers for many years. We're absolutely delighted that they're backing our podcast. You can get them over at forestprecisioneng.com, and you can also visit the Forest Precision Executive Lounge, a stunning new hospitality area within the historic main stand. For information on how to book this unique and intimate space, you can email the club via hospitality@rangers.co.uk. Well, it's been a fairly quiet week for Rangers. This week, no midweek games, no pitch debacles. Can I say the same for the rest of Scotland, unfortunately? But no resignations here tonight. I'm joined by Mr. Stuart Weir. How are you doing, sir?
Well, not yet anyway. And can I just say, on behalf of the nation, it's great to see your levels of sobriety have been boosted since the weekend.
Aye, well, absolutely, but that's what Rangers winning at Hampden does to you, three games in a row. You just get so excited by it because it's not happened for that long. So we'll leave it at that and we'll move on, as they say. First off, sure, need to start with the sort of main talking point for today, the rumours coming out of Turkey, firstly about John Lundstrom. Weirdly, it was mentioned by the manager in the pre-match press conference today. I think he said something along the lines of, "We have offered Lundstrom a new contract and, you know, we'll wait and see what happens." But it was maybe only about an hour or two afterwards that reports from, you know, fairly high-following sources in Turkey came out and said that, you know, they've already agreed a deal in principle with Lundstrom to Trabzonspor, the same team that I think are looking to sign Borna Barisic as well. What's your thoughts on that situation?
If he wants to go, goodbye. It's having watched them this season in particular. I would ask some of the viewers to text in one word that would describe John Lundstrom during his entire stay at Rangers. I would go for inconsistent, because he can turn in a fantastic performance one week and be utterly mediocre the following week. And that inconsistency, I think, has made it difficult for a number of managers to basically build or try and see how it's been part or a key part of any team. If you look at the kind of mix and match that Rangers have done in central midfield over a number of years whilst he's been there, he hasn't always been the number one pick or a number one starter. And I know people will go back to his performances during the Europa Cup run, and I have to say they were exceptional. But then there were a number of players during that period in time whose performances were exceptional for Rangers. In fact, there were some players who you would have to say that was the best ever period as a Rangers player during that extended European run. And I don't think he has hit those heights ever since that. So he's at an age where he's probably looking for one more big payday, a big contract. You know, I can see him getting out to Turkey. I can see him being back in the English Championship by January. So, but if that's where he wants to go, don't let any of us stand in your way. Good luck to you.
I think most fans are kind of in agreement. I think the thing that, you know, I was going to say worries me, but, you know, his performances have been inconsistent, as you say, that bad. Is it, if he's already agreed a deal in principle with a team, how's that going to affect his performances going into the last five league games in the Scottish Cup final? Because you just don't know what the guy's got in terms of, you know, up there, in terms of his mentality. You know, since the new managers came in, he's been more consistent. I think people have been going on about him, you know, as if he's been amazing. And it has been good, but I think maybe some people have overstepped the mark a wee bit in terms of their praise of him. I think he's been that sort of solid 7 out of 10, which, by the way, is all we ever wanted from him in the first place. We didn't want him to be a 9 out of 10 for a few games in Europe and then sort of 5 or 6 out of 10 for the rest of his time there. If he's a 7 out of 10 in the position that he's playing, you know, that's pretty good, and we'll take it. But I just think he's, as you say, inconsistent. For me, I've been kind of vocal on this the last couple of weeks anyway, over the three sort of senior players in the group. I certainly think for two of them anyway, I think their time's up. Another one we'll speak about later on, I'm still a wee bit on the fence about maybe erring towards go. But, it's one of the things where I think we really need a refresh in the summer. This could be the start of it. And also as well, Stuart, if he does leave, it's a hell of a hefty wage after the wage bill, isn't it?
Yeah, I would say, given all the difficulties that Rangers have had in the last decade, to see what some of the guys are earning now is a bit breathtaking, to
Yeah,
say the least.
all the insurance premiums.
It's pretty staggering, actually, what some of them are earning. And I know people will say, "Ah, but if you want players of a certain standard, that's what you need to pay them." I would say that Rangers are overpaying one or two, given what we've actually seen. And maybe this summer is time for a reset, with a new manager actually shaping the team how he wants to shape it, rather than remoulding somebody else's old plasticine as he has done since he came in.
I agree. Borna Barisic as well, linked with the same team in Turkey. I think that answer will be even a bit shorter than the Lundstrom one. Would you be pleased to see that deal go through?
I think he'd be pleased to see it, actually. I mean, there are times, I'll be honest, there are times where he's come under a bit of pressure and has received a bit of stick for what were average performances, when I think people were still were looking for him to fail, rather than looking at actually what he did. And to that extent, I think there's a great many in the current squad who, if you judge them against others that were there previously, I'm thinking maybe some of the teams that were in the lower divisions with the Rangers and under Ali McCoist, they would look considerably better than those. But if you go back far enough, or not too far actually, in Rangers history, and you look at some of the players that the likes of Walter Smith had, some of the players that Alex McLeish had, Dick Advocaat had, you look at that, and okay, people say, well, it's a different kind of generation, it's a different setup at Ibrox and the likes, but I still think that there is space and capacity for a vast improvement amongst the playing personnel at Rangers. I think there's a lot of, I'll reference Lundstrom in this one. The phrase journeyman professional springs to mind. If he wasn't getting a game with Sheffield United, he'd get a game with Rangers. And if he wasn't getting a game with Rangers, he'd get a game with Trabzonspor. And that's the kind of player that he is. I don't think he's the kind that he'll be, getting tattoos and badge kissing and all the rest of it. But there we have it.
I think value for money is kind of the big phrase that screamed out for me the last couple of years. I mean, if reports are true, since the season we won a league a couple of years ago, Rangers have had at least an equal wage bill to Celtic, if not a higher wage bill than Celtic in those years. And, I've kind of been of the opinion under the sort of Gerrard regime early on, you could kind of make excuses because you did have to build towards winning again. But I think from winning the league from that point on, to lose two league titles in a row, potentially a third with the money that you're spending, it's just no good enough. It's just no value for money. You're seeing fans constantly fork out for, season tickets, majors, memberships, tops, Rangers rubber ducks. The first instalment of the season ticket comes out next week. So the fans at the end of the day, sure, they're not getting their value for money at the moment when it comes to a lot of these players.
No, I think there's a number of fans have looked at upon it that every time Rangers want them to spend money, you get another, you get an email through and saying, here's our latest offering, whiskey, gin, tequila, milk, water, anything you want to put a label on and expect the fans to buy it. And I think the fans are looking at it now and saying, we're contributing quite a bit of money here. Let's see some, as you say, VFM, value for money here, and let's see it on the pitch.
Aye, and that's the thing as well. I mean, it's not as if the money's not there. I mean, we've spent it. If we're spending the same as Celtic, you should be getting better value for money. It's just that I think the last few years, unfortunately, the footballing department's just been running into the ground. But hopefully things can pick up with that in the summer, and maybe we can get a few more things over the line before then. Another rumour, Stuart, this week. I mean, it's just transfer rumours this week, isn't it? Dougie Kinnear will be loving it, but. Well, it's all outgoings and no incomes, but Tavernier and Goldson linked with big money moves to Saudi Arabia. I don't know if that's big money moves for Rangers or big money moves just for them, but I think that's an interesting one. Do you think that's just the press putting two and two together, the Gerrard link, or do you think there might be something in that? And if there is something in that, is that something you would like to see happen, whether it's Saudi Arabia or elsewhere with the two players?
I think, going forward under a new manager, he will have his own ideas. And I think that where he's at just now, it's been a kind of make do and mend with the players that he's inherited. There's and I put Tavernier and Goldson, and you will know I am no fanboy of Tavernier. I think he's been a good player at a bad time, if you like, and no more than that. His contributions in terms of goals cannot be faulted. His contribution to other teams' goals really could be faulted, given some of the mistakes that he's made over the years. However, he is not the type of player, and neither is Goldson, that you see being a 3 year, 4 year deal into the future. I think if they are kept on, it'll be short-termism, and I think really now Rangers have to be looking for replacements and of a decent enough standard. I think, don't get me wrong, they want to watch with Tavernier and everything he's contributed, but I think the way that Clement lines up and sets up his team, I think that kind of void, so to speak, of a missing right back is not something that he really subscribes to. I think he's maybe looking for somebody to get forward, but equally he's looking for somebody who's defensively sound as well. And therefore, I don't think that Tavernier long term fits into that mould.
I mean, see, the thing with Tav is it does look as if that the manager's kind of shifting his playing style, not to suit him as such, but because he maybe realises that he's lost that yard of pace that he used to have, or maybe that he isn't as sound defensively as he wants him to be. Because you see, whoever the right winger is, when it, like if it's Sterling or Seymour recently or McCausland, he's wanting them to do a lot of the sort of up and down work. And I remember back when it was one of Beale's last games in charge, we beat Motherwell 1-0 at Ibrox. It was the one where Dessel scored the goal off his backside. And it was just a horrific game. And it was like we all kind of knew what was happening with Beale. But I remember at that game, everybody just saying, Tav's gone, he's lost it in terms of that yard of pace. He just he didn't seem to have it. And then I think when you see him, and look, he's got a great record this season, he's had a great record the last few seasons in terms of goals and stuff like that. But one thing I would say this season, his assists haven't been quite as high as they have been before, and also as well, his goals from open play haven't quite been at the level that they've been at before. And I think that's maybe a microcosm of the manager saying, right, I'm wanting you to be there for basically dead ball situations. And look, he's a dead ball specialist. His free kicks are unbelievable. He's a great penalty taker. But I think if it's getting to a point where you're keeping a player on the pitch just for his dead ball abilities, you can maybe get away with it, against smaller teams in the league. That's fine. But in big games, games against Celtic, games in Europe, you're going to need him to step up and play have a sort of 90-minute team performance. And I know he scored his penalty against Celtic that was well taken a few weeks ago, and he scored a free kick at Parkhead. But those performances are in Europe in general. I don't think he's been quite the same player this year. For me, with Goldson, I think Goldson finished as far as I'm concerned. I think Balogun stepped in last week at Hamden was great. That's not to say that Balogun's the answer moving forward into next season, but I think certainly right now it's Balogun's jersey to lose. That's the way it should be. But Tav, it's a weird one because you hear a lot of things thrown at him and stuff like that. And I do think James Tavernier's been brilliant for Rangers over the years, and I don't think he's been at fault for as many things as what a lot of people make out. I do genuinely believe, like you said earlier, it's probably been a bit of a bad time for him in terms of a lot of the players that he's been surrounded with, which isn't his fault. And if we do go on to lose the league this year, it's not going to be his fault. But I just think sometimes you need to look at a sort of a common denominator. And it might be unfair to just to say, look, if we get a decent offer for you, look at your age, you're 32, going to be 33 this year. We've had a great length of service at you. We just need to try something new. And I think for me, Stuart, the issue with us right now is we're far too reliant on a 32-year-old right back who has essentially lost his yard of pace as well. I think when it's getting to that point, it gets a bit worrying, to be honest.
I would disagree with that. On that, the Goldson situation, I think actually you could see it was a, it was a bit like a deflating tire over a number of weeks. You could see his energy levels decreasing over a period of time, and maybe he did get a chance to have a week off or a day, a couple of weeks off, and just reset. Take a deep. A sharp intake of breath and get on with it again. It'll be interesting to see, the sort of team that's put out in the next two games, and whether he gets his place back or whether it's they continue with Balogun and Suter, or is he suddenly, going to pull a rabbit out of the hat and decide Goldson and Balogun are the better is a better combination. Watch this space, let's say. But I think Balogun came in. He is a player. I could never understand why he was allowed to leave in the first place. I really, I mean, and I sat on here and said it. I just couldn't work that one out, because there was a guy who actually, whether he played two games in a row or whether he played one game in a month, actually contributed and actually looked as if he was comfortable playing centre back. Unlike others who, just seem to panic and went into a blind panic when they were put under pressure. Balogun always, for me, always seemed pretty stable. But his return and the fact that, we're talking about Rangers, pair many two from three just now to find the best centre back combination. I was doing a bit of sort of scribbling and writing down some names. How many centre backs have Rangers had in the last four or five seasons? It is quite incredible, utterly incredible. And just when you think you've written them all down, suddenly another one will come into your head. You'll go, "Oh, well, hi, wait a minute, I forgot all about him." It's not
You like that
something.
old George Edmondson?
Correct. If I hadn't been for him the other night there, or playing for Ipswich, I would have completely forgotten about him. But it was like, I don't know why, he was going to be the next big thing. And I mean, that people will say that, oh, Goldson's been a kind of keystone defensively. Yes, he has, maybe because they haven't found anybody else to play beside him, or maybe they just haven't found the right combination. But I think if you look at the amount of games that Goldson has played and all the different partners that he's had, or all the different combinations that Rangers have played at centre back, it is quite incredible.
I know a lot of centre backs here. I mean, George Edmondson, at least he scored against Bayer Leverkusen. No many people can say that. Just a shame it was the 2024 Xabi Alonso version of Bayer Leverkusen. But I know you're thinking him, Katic off the top of my head, Hollander, obviously, James Sands. Don't know if he was brought in as a centre back or a midfield. The guys that I've got the now, probably a couple others as well. It's crazy, the amount of centre backs that I've had, and Ben Davies is still probably the worst of the lot in my opinion.
Well,
Probably the most expensive.
I don't think you're suddenly going to have a queue of people, coming online tonight and complaining about your judgment call on that one. But I mean, I think there are sort, sometimes, and I get a feeling about this team just now. They've done well to get to where they are. they probably could have done better. And it's okay, you know, you could say, well, they're running on empty or they're running in vapor. That's the time to switch on your reserve tanks and go again. And that bit, I just don't see with this current Rangers squad. It's almost like they're looking for an excuse to be downbeat and, you know, downtrodden, any kind of results. No winning three matches, league wise, only taking what, 5 points out of 15. That's unacceptable. They came back last week against Hearts. I have to say, for me, that was a really tame performance from Hearts.
Yeah, I thought
And
that
I think actually if they spent more time planning and plotting how to get the better of the Rangers defence rather than shouting at each other about not, you know, joining up their attacks or making passes they thought they should have been making. I think if they concentrated on actually beating Rangers rather than beating themselves up, it could have been a much tighter game for Rangers.
Yeah, it could have been. I was quite surprised that sort of Hearts no showing up last week because I thought they would have been quite buoyant going into it. But you know, no complaints here. Speaking of Conor Goldson, he's been in trouble again this week off the Rangers fans for appearing on a podcast with his mate. Terrible thing, Conor. No, I mean, look, I listened to it, right? I said on Twitter the other day, see, he's a fan, right? You love this sort of stuff. You love to see like the insight of players and stuff like that. But I think from a club point of view, you know, we're going for a league title at the time it's been played. There is always going to be crazy people that, regardless of what you say as a Rangers player, like they're always just going to shut it down and look for an excuse to be negative. So I think maybe from a club point of view, my view on it was, why are they allowing him to do this at such an important time of the season? If you're going to do it, wait until the summer. But I think some of the stuff he said's probably been blown a wee bit out of proportion, but nah.
I watched it, right? First of all, there was a line that was turned into a clip, and you reeled back and you went, oh my God, what are you saying that for? And then you saw it in the context of where he actually said it, and it was nothing. It actually reminded me of sitting at Celtic Park, a game that Rangers lost 2-0 when Gascoigne was substituted. And the phone went, and my editor was on the phone screaming and shouting, you need to, did you see Gascoigne? Did you see Gascoigne? Gascoigne was playing the flute. Gascoigne was playing the flute. Now, what actually happened was he'd seen it in the television, but it had actually been slowed down. Now, you can imagine, I'm at a football match. I've got a laptop in front of me. I'm trying to write a game report. I've got a couple of Celtic fans running about me that are trying to basically take the laptop off me. I'm having a discussion with the police, telling them what they should be doing with these particular fans that are running about me, trying to take my laptop. And then I've got an editor on the phone saying, oh, you should see Gascoigne, with a clip of footage of Gascoigne playing the flute for about 1.5 seconds that actually had been slowed down. Now, for me, the Goldson's, you know, online words or appearance on a podcast, that was pretty much, I could dismiss that as much as I could the Gascoigne thing. I didn't think there was anything in it whatsoever. I thought that he was a guy who, for anything, he was being more honest about certain issues and certain matters than he was about anything else. And again, I think some people picked up on this and said, oh, let's make a story out of this. But for me, there wasn't any story whatsoever. If you're actually expanding upon it and taking it in the whole, you know, the whole now sort of type thing, it was something that you'd be expecting, or you would actually sort of rub your hands and say, well, that was a good interview I got with that player. If he came out with that and said it to you, if you were writing, you know, writing those words up in a newspaper, no, pick one particular line out.
I mean, most of it wasn't even on Rangers. Rangers only really came into the last sort of 15, 20 minutes. It was mostly about his sort of health issues and his sort of early career, because it was, I think, the guy that done it. I think they were youth players together or something like that. And I think, I said it on Twitter, I think Goldson's obviously done it as like a sort of favour to his pal, because he's doing this podcast so he can get a good guest and all that. But, you know, as I say, from a maybe a club point of view, I'm thinking that there's you're always going to get nettles regardless of what you say. Do you know what I mean? You could turn there and say that, you know, you could have won 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 trebles in a row, and fans would still find a way to be negative about it. So.
I get myself banned from Ibrox because on the day of an Old Firm game, a midweek match, I get an interview from a Danish colleague who'd interviewed Brian Laudrup. Brian Laudrup, when he came to Rangers, the first thing he did was give everybody's phone number, which was unheard of. You know, it was like, if you want to contact me, here's my mobile number, here's my phone number. And we're all sort of looking at each other after saying, nah, this will be something like the Samaritans or something like that. You know, you'll can I speak to Brian? No, but you can speak to God. He did a piece for one of the Danish tabloids, which I got hold of. It was translated into, you know, perfect English for me. So it was basically just a cut and paste job. And next thing I knew, I was suddenly being, you know, summoned to Ibrox to go and see Walter. What the hell are you running this story for? And in a day an Old Firm game and all the rest of it. And you know, I had to sit there and take like three or four cross-handers, but that was it overdone with. The fact of the matter was, it was a really good line or a really good piece. It was more like a kind of feature piece, but there were not just one line, there were three or four or five lines in there that you could feature on the back page, which is exactly what we did. And you know, as I tried to point out in my defense, which wasn't really, I wasn't really in my best QC mode that day, but as I tried to work, you know, basically say in my defense, it was there for somebody else to translate and somebody else to pick up on. And the fact is that Brian Laudrup, off his own back, went and gave this interview to somebody, you know, in his own country. The thing with some of these players, I'd say overseas or foreign players, but it happens anywhere. The fact of the matter is that these guys give interviews thinking that nobody else will ever see it. And that's not the way, and especially nowadays with the whole, you know, interweb, you know, face chat, book, tweet things all going about that are just there to trip you up and make you look an absolute idiot if they do fall into the wrong hands. I don't think it's something that's going to change. I still think that some clubs and managers and the like still struggle to get their head around actually how easy it is to access some of these players. But I did not see anything wrong with what Goldson said.
Aye, Rangers fans being over the top. Who knew, eh? Who knew? Just before we move on, guys, just want to give a shout out to another one of our sponsors, Football Prizes. They're a company who specialise in football competitions and match draws. You can see the latest competition over on our Twitter at Jersnet Online, which is a signed Oscar Cortez framed Rangers shirt. Tickets are £3.95, and there's 165 of them. The competition ends Thursday, the 9th of May, at 7:30. So if you want that, you can get a link to that over on our Twitter, or you can visit the website directly at footballprizes.co.uk/product/Cortez. So yeah, £3.95 for a wee entry to that one if you're fancying it, ladies and gentlemen. So shit, we'll move on to the game this coming Sunday, St Mirren and Paisley. I love a good trip to Paisley. Not for the football, mind you,
I prefer a trip back out to Paisley.
listen, for recreational purposes, Paisley's all right. It's got the Lagoon Centre in the lane, so, and there's the police gone by as well. See, it's funny, isn't it? As soon as you mention Paisley, the blue lights come on. We'll wait for them to disappear. But you know.
Are you sitting in a bus shelter or something? Have you been evicted?
It's joking. It's a common occurrence that happens every 10 minutes or so. But obviously, St Mirren and Sunday and Paisley, we play first actually. We start at 12:30, Celtic start at 3:00. So it's an opportunity to go level on points, albeit for a couple of hours. And you know, that's something that we've not actually had a lot of this season. Normally, Celtic are playing first, but that's what happens when you end up in the Europa League instead of the Champions League, guys. But in terms of the team, you know, the manager mentioned a few players that were going about injured, and That's another thing that I wanted to discuss as well. Seamus out, that doesn't look like a good one. The manager said he's hopeful he'll be back towards the end of the season. I think we're all hopeful, but whether that's a realistic hopeful or just, pie in the sky hopeful, we'll find out soon enough. Ridvan's still out, despite only being days away about a month ago. Matondo got a wee niggle as well after taking a tackle last week in the Hearts game. I mean, we just seem to be going round and round in circles with these injuries, Stuart. Seems to be the same kind of players as well. And I said this on Twitter earlier, and I wanted to touch on it here and get your kind of thoughts on it. I'm kind of getting to the point now where if you look at across the city today, they've got a player who's made another miraculous recovery now from an end of season injury. And I've heard some people say that's probably just Celtic giving out sort of false stories saying that they're going to book for the season and then, maybe put other teams off and stuff like that. And I can see the logic in that, to be fair. But if you actually look at the injuries that Maeda and Callum McGregor sustained, I think one was the Achilles and other one's a hamstring. It's not easy injuries to come back from. It is stuff that normally rules you out for a couple of months. I think it's just time and time again with these injuries. I mean, I know the club's got problems clearly when it comes to it. I know we've signed players that are obviously injury prone as well, but there's a part of me that's now thinking, and I don't want to think this, but you can't help it when you see what's happening at Celtic, that are these players actually up for the fight? Are these players actually doing everything they possibly can to get back fit? Because when you see two Celtic players come back from two pretty bad injuries relatively quickly, these are the thoughts that start to go through your head sometimes. So what's your thoughts on that situation?
Injuries, I would say players are they're quicker, fitter, faster than they've ever been. Therefore, if you're quick, guaranteed the opposition are quick. Therefore, the bumps and knocks and that you take might be a bit quicker and last a bit longer. However, being as old as I am, I remember a time in football where you had guys basically, it was a story if they missed one game a season, let alone sit for a month or, half a season because they've got some injury. And that was a time when they were playing on something that looked like Passchendaele or the Somme, and they were getting kicked not only in the front, but from the rear as well, and still managed to make it through and carve out a season where they played 40 games and scored 25 goals. So I do wonder, fitness-wise, health-wise, and the likes, whether it's a mindset that people get a kind of niggle and think, "Oh, I'm not 100% fit." I know literally hundreds of footballers, and if you go back in time and speak to these guys, they would tell you that the only time they actually were 100% fit was when they turned up for pre-season or just at the end of pre-season, when they'd done all their running and all their real physical exercise. The number that said, you jokingly, "Oh, the only time you were fit was you were lying on the beach." No, I wasn't even fit then. I'd lost my toenail, or I'd a broken toe that I had to heal and all the rest of it. These guys basically just patched themselves up and got on with it. And I sometimes wonder about the mindset and the level. And I sometimes wonder if other teams have got players that really do want to play rather than just, handing a sick note saying that I can't make it. I do think actually there could be a mindset or a culture which is not the type you want at a football club that basically says, "Well, if I'm not 100%, I'm not interested." No, you'd still be a great addition to a squad if you were 95% or 90% fit. And I think we need to see that from one or two players.
Well, that's that. I think it kind of just sums up for me the mentality of both squads, to be honest. I think, a lot of people have said the last few weeks that Celtic will probably get over the line because they've got the players there that have been and done it before, and the ultra optimist in me is kind of going, "Ah, well, maybe things have changed this time." But I think when you've just sort of seen what happened the week just gone by before the Hearts game, you can't really disagree with anything that those detractors have been saying. I mean, the Callum McGregor one, I mean, he's working his backside off to get back in time for an Old Firm game just to come on for 20 minutes. You know, even the Dyson Maeda one, he's going to be back next week for their game against Hearts. He'll probably likely start against Rangers. And it's, I think the Yilmaz injury, I think that's his hamstring as well. So why is it when Ridvaan Yilmaz's hamstring goes, he misses several weeks or several months, but when Dyson Maeda's hamstring goes, he only misses a few weeks? Now, I know people's bodies are different, you react to injuries differently, and I'm not sitting here saying that, oh, the players are just saying that I'm not playing even when I'm 90, 95% fit. Because to be quite honest, I wouldn't be surprised if the medical team are gone as well. And if you're not 100% fit, we're not going to, sort of authorise you to go out there. And one thing about the manager as well, and I don't know if this is a good trait to have or not, but he seems to be very reluctant to send players out that aren't exactly 100% fit. Like, he sort of builds them up. So he'll play them for like 15 minutes here, 50 minutes there, and then he'll put them in full time.
Maybe that's to do with the depth of the squad or the lack of players he's got in the squad. Maybe because they're all injured, right? But no, maybe he doesn't want to push somebody in case he loses them for a longer period of time. But I do think actually Rangers are at a time in the season where you'd be dusting things off, saying, "Oh, it's just a flesh wound. I need to be out in the pitch here because I want to win things." You do not win anything sitting in the stand with an elastoplast in your knee. And I think that kind of, I think one or two fans are becoming a bit disgruntled now at how often some players are, on the treatment table rather than getting their name put up in lights when the team's read out at 3 o'clock on a Saturday.
Aye. And I mean, I've tried to be positive, but I'm getting to the point now where even I'm off the happy pills now, and even I'm starting to criticise. And when that's happening, it's bad.
Well,
So,
why go to the happy drink then that you were on last weekend? I think people going.
as I say, look, three Rangers wins in a row at Hampden in normal time. Genuinely, I can't tell you the last time that that happened. Because even the sort of victories we've had at Hampden the last couple of years, it's all been like, well, a lot of them have been in extra time. Scottish Cup final, the win against Celtic. So it's either been that or we've been beat. So like to win a game at Hampden in normal time for Rangers as well nowadays, but to do it three times in a row, it's unbelievable. So you need to forgive me, ladies and gentlemen, for getting a bit too excited, but I'm sure we'd all have been like that as well. But as it's just they're starting to really annoy me, especially at this stage of the season. Do you know what I mean? It's like
Excitement at £5.50 a
that's why I go to the Toby Jug. Their prices are still relatively low, £1.99 for a pint of lager. So can't complain at their prices. I hope they're paying for a sponsorship and offer, for goodness sake. But
Just
aye.
looking at some of the comments coming in here about about injuries. I've covered football for so long. I've done other sports as well, rugby. The difference between football and rugby. Footballers run around for 90 minutes, try to look injured. Rugby players run about for 80 minutes, try to look as if they're no injured.
No.
But I ruptured my calf muscle, and honestly, it was excruciating. I could hardly walk, and I went down to a race day with Chris Hoy at Silverstone and Jason Queeley, Olympic kilo champion in 2000. He was there as well. And I was, "What's up with you?" And I was telling them, and they said, "Oh, we get that all the time." I looked as if I'd been hit by a sniper, and these guys were basically saying, "What's up with you?" And it was like, "This is the medication to take." And basically, overdosing Voltarol because that'll alleviate the pain and get you moving again. So I'm always skeptical of it, just how bad some of these injuries actually are. Get down it, distant to footballers. When I've watched rugby players and cyclists and other sportsmen and women that partake in really physical sport, just basically brushing it off and dusting it off and getting on with it.
No, I mean, the thing as well, you know, we don't know what the exact problem is. I tend to think it's probably all three. I think it's maybe signing injury prone players, you know, the actual medical, you know. Well, that's the thing as well, actually. I was thinking about this earlier, right, in terms of people saying, oh, you know, why have injuries been so bad the last 2 or 3 years? Surely Rangers in 2024, they're not. Surely they're paying for the best medical equipment. They're getting the best medical treatment. I know Clermont had the story about that cryo chamber not being used and stuff like that, right? But it's there. So I don't know how we could go from being a team that was so fit under Gerrard to then being pretty unfit under Gio for, you know, his sort of first summer season, if that makes sense. And then again under Beale, so unfit, because most of the medical team had been there throughout the whole time there. And even when Beale came back, you would imagine that Beale would have adopted similar, if not the same, sort of training methods and stuff like that as to what was around the time under Gerrard. And now we've got a new manager in as well, and I know he's not had a full pre-season and stuff like that. So I just don't understand how it can be so bad, because surely Rangers aren't trying to like cut corners when it comes to medical stuff. I don't believe that for a second. So I don't know. It's a conundrum and a half. It's a conundrum and a half. But
What has been worrying, I would say, is the players that have been out for periods of time where you're told, oh, he's in the brink of coming back, or he's nearly there, and then they vanish into the undergrowth again. You don't see them for another month. So there are obviously issues. Either they're playing some kind of mind game and trying to boost and bolster people up to get them to perform, or they're just making excuses for some.
Aye. Well, we'll see what happens in the summer anyway, and see what Mr. Clermont has up his sleeve for the injuries, but it kind of get much worse than what it is now, so you'll need all the luck in the world. Just a sort of general point, sure, I wanted to move on just about the sort of end of season in general before we come on to our team predictions for Sunday. Five games, Todd Cantwell and the manager said earlier today, it's five cup finals plus the Scottish Cup final as well. But right, I think the difficulty for me now is, even if we do win all five games, it still might not be enough because of the goal difference situation. And I heard Cantwell being asked about the goal difference situation earlier, and he was kind of like, nah, but we're not really thinking about that. It's just about winning the game, which is fair enough. But it's something that, you know, you need to think about. You know, if Rangers can go out on Sunday and beat St Mirren by a few goals, you know, you can put pressure on Celtic. And I think the thing that's really annoyed me about Rangers this year is that I look at the way that Celtic have been, the mood around the club the whole season, and it looks as if at the moment we're about to hand them another league. And it just, that's the thing. I do think Celtic will drop points in these next five games. The problem is, I think Rangers will drop points as well.
That could be an issue. I mean, I think just winning the five matches,
yeah, that's a tall ask.
It's a big ask, given, you know, people say, but they beat Hearts easy enough. Well, they did, but if you look at the three games before that, two draws out of those three matches, that just ain't good enough. So I think it's kind of heart and mouth time for Rangers over these next couple of games. I can see what Cantwell's saying in terms of just winning the match. If Rangers win the next five matches and lose out in goal difference, at least they'll have given it a go.
Yeah.
I think they have to be looking at winning these five matches and maybe bringing out their joker and playing that at some point in time as well, just to try and get a couple of bonus points. But you know, between now and the end of the season, Rangers can still make a bit of a statement, and who knows what might happen league-wise, and certainly if they can prepare themselves at best for an Old Firm Cup final. And if that is not a huge attraction or a big carrot for you to aim for, I really don't know why you're at Rangers.
No, I mean, I think we know the Cup final will take care of itself, you know, next month when that comes around. But for me, in terms of the league, like the manager said all season, it's a marathon, not a sprint. For me, small steps.
And can I just say something? I just to butt in there very quickly. That whole thing about the Cup final will take care of itself, no, it won't. We have just seen three league matches there where Rangers are going for a league title, and Rangers just didn't turn up. Those three games, they did not take care of themselves, and that's the same mindset you're going to in an Old Firm game. And you know, I just think there really needs to be a kind of reset and an understanding of what's at stake. If you fail in the league, then for me it's pretty unforgivable given the position you had of having two matches, and if you'd won both those matches, you'd be 2 points in front or whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
To let that just evaporate is unforgivable. To then go through the season and perhaps miss out on a league title, well, you've got to live with that. To then go through that season and get that cup final and not do it, not by luck or by chance, but actually wanting to win, having the willingness to push yourself to the nth degree, I think there's a hell of a lot of Rangers players they would be happily shown the door come the summer, let alone the speculation about them.
Aye, no, you're right there. I think in terms of sort of taking care of itself, I meant by that the league sort of comes first, and we need to part the sort of cup final until the end of the season. We just need to think about the next game and the next game and the next game after that. But like I said, the manager's mentioned all season, it's a marathon, not a sprint. For me, it needs to be small steps. And I think if we can win the next three games, and obviously that includes a trip to Celtic Park, which, by the way, people are saying, oh, I will be fine in all the other games, the trip to Celtic Park, you know, we might slip up there. Don't kid yourselves, by the way, with some of the results that we've seen with Rangers the last couple of months. This game on Sunday is going to be we're playing Kilmarnock next Sunday. That's going to be a tough game as well. So we just need to get the job done in every game. But I'm thinking from maybe the best chance we've got, if we can win at least the next three games, it puts us level on points at an absolute minimum. And then Celtic go to Kilmarnock the second last game of the season. And, you know, that could be where the slip-up happens. But we just need to win every game. And I think, like you said, Stuart, you know, if we win every game, we have done our job. Very similar to what Alec McLeish said, I think, at half-time at Helicopter Sunday. I think Celtic were 1-0 up at the time. It was 0-0 at Easter Road. He said to the players, if you go out here and don't win this game and Celtic end up dropping points, you're going to regret it for the rest of your life. Make sure you can control what you can. And that's what Rangers need to do the next few weeks, really, I think. Just control what they can and win every game.
Yeah, no, I think your levels of confidence. I'd sell that bus shelter and go and put it all in the national lottery.
I will. I'll make sure it's a Euro Williams and no the Thunderball, so I can get a pretty heftier jackpot than normal. See, to be honest, I don't even think the Thunderball would pay somebody's mortgage off nowadays with the rising prices. But I stick it on the Euro Millions anyway.
A mortgage? What's a mortgage? Sorry.
Aye, all right. But, you're not hiding your wealth tonight, are you, Mr. Weir? You're not hiding your wealth tonight. But aye, the team on Sunday, this is the thing. I like asking these questions because I like to hear people's opinions on it, right? But somebody asked me the other day, but do you want your team to be on Sunday? And I'm kind of at the point where I'm like, I don't even know now, because like there's that many changes, there's that many injuries. I think a lot of the players, you know, we're just like, okay, if they start, they start. I'm not going to sit here and make a case for many players on Sunday. I think apart from Diamande, I think he's been fairly good since he's came in. I think he should start. I think Balogun needs to continue. Apart from, you know, the obvious one in goals, Jack Butland, and, you know, I suppose you're going to need to play Tav as well. The rest of the team, I mean, you could pick anybody, to be quite honest, and I'd probably just go, aye, okay.
If you, to be honest though, if you're not scraping them off the pitch with 3 points in their back pocket on Sunday, then it wouldn't matter a damn who you put out for the next four or five matches.
I know. It's one of the ones, but we'll see what happens on Sunday anyway. What a positive Friday night this is.
It's been great. You get back on the drink. Well, I'll tell you one, Rangers that are winning handsomely, and that's Queen's Park Rangers.
Oh, is that 2-0?
It's now 4-0.
4-0? Jesus.
Yeah.
I've seen it was 2-0. Aye. Well, that's a wee coupon buster there. I'm sure Michael Beale will be delighted.
Aye. But enough of that. Anyway.
I know. It's been a really positive Friday night. It's good to get that in before we're about to go into six title-defining, treble-defining games, something that we've not experienced as Rangers fans for 20 years, probably. And we're absolutely delighted going into it. But that's the life of a Rangers fan, eh? I think we'll probably finish up in there. It's been a good conversation, Stuart. Thanks very much for joining me, as always. It's been a pleasure.
I'm looking forward to the police coming in again.
Oh, aye. Well, they actually did come in earlier, but I was on mute at the time. So, as I say, it's a regular occurrence here. But thanks very much for tuning in, guys. If you're on YouTube at the moment, just joined us late, you can rewind back to the start at any time. I think at some point tomorrow as well, we'll be on all of your usual podcast providers as well. We'll be back on Sunday at 9:30. I've not actually checked the schedule, so I'm not too sure who's on. But we'll be
I think
live.
it's Brian, Ian, and Ross.
There we go. So Brian, Ian, and Ross will be on this Sunday to review, hopefully, 3 points for Rangers in Paisley. But we'll leave you there, guys. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and let's hope for a good result on Sunday. Bye for now.
All the best, folks.